2 Timothy chapter number 4, and we have for this calendar year, we've had as our theme, continue. And you see these banners, they've been up here all year, and we switched them out during the missions conference, but our theme for the missions conference was continue as well. They were just slightly different banners, and the roadways were lined with flags of countries because we need to continue to take the gospel to all the world. And we've had this theme, continue, and what a blessed thought as we find in 1 and 2 Timothy, as we've had the opportunity to study through these letters. Of course, books of the Bible, as Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And what is he doing? Well, he's encouraging him to continue. And all that's going on in Ephesus, all that he's facing with false teachers and hardships and opposition, and it's all summarized in one word, continue. And we today have been given that same charge and that same admonition that we are to continue. As Paul closes this letter to Timothy, I find that he exalts the Lord Jesus Christ as he rehearses the goodness of God in his life. I hope that each of us take time to regularly worship the Lord and to regularly exalt the Lord for all that he has done in our lives. Indeed, he is a wonderful Savior. Of course, we understand this morning that each of us have different experiences. However different our experiences may be, it is absolutely vital that we acknowledge the good hand of the Lord in our lives. I think about Nehemiah, and I think about the situation he and Ezra, as God would use them, and the way that they recognize God's leadership and God's hand upon them. We find that the Apostle Paul, really verse 17 and 18 will be the real key elements of our text this morning, but I want to begin reading in verse 14. We ended last week in verse 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. So look in verse 14. The Bible says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. As we look at verses 14 and 16, we find that even as Paul is rehearsing and giving this charge to Timothy, and he tells him in verse 15, of whom that be thou ware also, that there will be times that as we live the Christian life, there will be times that we will be mistreated. There will be times that we may even be deserted, but we cannot allow those times of difficulty, no matter how intense they may be, we cannot allow that to cause us to get bitter. We look here in the text of Scripture and we find that even as Paul says at the end of verse 16, he says, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Instead of being bitter, we can forgive and we can trust the Lord to deal with it in His way and in His time. And can I tell you this morning? God's way is always right and God's time is always right. And we can thank the Lord and we can rejoice this morning in knowing that the Apostle Paul, though he dealt with these difficulties and we know much about the opposition that he faced, that he could say to Timothy, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Does it remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said while he was on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that not what Jesus said? We find that also, we find Stephen, the first martyr there in Acts chapter number 7, as he's being stoned to death, he prays that it would not be laid to their charge. And we too can forgive, and we must not get bitter over the opposition and the difficulty that we face. We'll look at verse 17 and 18 in just a moment, but notice in verse 19 down through verse 22, Paul says, salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Ebulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you, Amen. I think about these few verses of Scripture, and often as you read throughout the letters of Paul, you find that many times he references individuals by name. There are times in which he wants the recipient of the letter, whether it's a church or an individual, to acknowledge those individuals and to send greetings, to extend greetings. And we find that as the Apostle Paul is closing this letter, that he mentions individuals by name. And it reminds me this morning of the importance of appreciating our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a wonderful thing to have a support network, that we are the family of God, that we come together, we can bear ye one another's burdens, amen, that we can pray one for another, that we can edify one another, we can encourage one another, and we understand that a church is made up of a variety of individuals, and yes, we have our physical blood family relatives, but in Christ, the brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God, is a wonderful blessing. And the Apostle Paul is always mindful of writing and mentioning individuals' names. And I wonder this morning how often we thank God for our brothers and sisters in Christ by name. That we call out their name before the Lord, that we pray one for another, that we might even pick up that phone and send a text or an email or a phone call and let our brothers and sisters in Christ know that we appreciate them, that we are thankful that God has brought us together as a family. What a blessing. I know that oftentimes today, because of the advancements in technology, that there's not as many that write letters or cards. But what a blessing to be able to get a card or a letter from someone and to know that they're praying for you. We send, as a ministry of our church, to all of our missionaries for their birthdays and their anniversaries, and then also at Christmas time, we send cards to them. Now, some of them are in restricted areas where we cannot just drop it in the mail and send it to them, and so we have to send it to their mission board, and sometimes they scan it in and send them an email copy. Sometimes they mail it in a package or whatever they do. But regularly, over and over, I get feedback from our missionaries saying, thank you. You have no idea how much of an encouragement it was to me to receive this. See, thanking God for our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we look at verse 17 and 18, and really being the key text for our message this morning, I want you to take a few moments and I want you to look at the testimony that the Apostle Paul gives in verse 17 and 18. Notice the Bible says this, notwithstanding, he's speaking about Alexander the coppersmith, talking about the fact that no man stood with him in verse 16. He says this, notwithstanding, notice these words, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see how Paul, in these two verses tucked between the introductory statements that we made with regard to his hardship and then remembering his brothers and sisters in Christ, he just takes these two verses and really just exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. And he ends verse 18 by saying, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. If you read the book of Revelation, you understand that for all of eternity we'll be worshiping and praising our Lord, and He is worthy of it. And what a joy that during this time that God has given us to live on planet Earth, that we are to exalt the Lord, that we are to magnify Him, that we're to praise and worship Him because He is worthy of our praise. We find this morning that as we look at these couple of verses of Scripture within this closing section of 2 Timothy chapter number 4, I've simply titled the message, Strengthened for Service. Strengthened for Service. Last week, we looked at the preceding text in verse 9 through 13, and we talked about Mark and how the Apostle Paul said of Mark, he's writing to Timothy, and he says, take Mark and bring him with thee. Why? For he is profitable to me for the ministry. And we spent time last Sunday morning dealing with what is the ministry, seeking to define the ministry. In a simple statement, it's the work of the Lord, and what a blessing to be involved in God's work. And then we said we must not only define what the ministry is, but then discover what our place in God's work is. What is discovering our place in God's ministry? And we find that now, as we look at this passage, we find that Paul is referencing how he was strengthened for service, how God used him. And we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and so often we can look through the New Testament and we can read of the work that he was involved in, and we can rejoice in how God used him. But he regularly gives God all of the honor and all of the glory. Why? Because he recognizes that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And Paul says, I was strengthened for service. He says right there in verse 17, and strengthened me. As we look at this testimony of the Apostle Paul in verses 17 and 18, I want you to consider just a few thoughts with me this morning. Number one, I want you to understand that Paul was saved. You say, yeah, we know that. No, it's important that we acknowledge this truth and we start here, because we must acknowledge this morning that everything, when we talk about being strengthened for service, that it all begins with salvation. The service that we're speaking about, the ministry that we're speaking about, is God's work. And God, as I said last week, God uses His people. He uses those that are saved by the grace of God, those who have been redeemed, those who know for sure, without any shadow of a doubt, that heaven is their home. He uses them in His service. And so when we speak about being strengthened for service, we must begin by looking at the reality that Paul was saved. There was a time in his life when his name was Saul that he was not saved. He was religious. He was zealous. He was doing all that he thought he would be doing and should be doing. And he was a religious man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He gives his testimony of all that he was doing. He thought he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. But as he had authority in his hand, and he was on the road to Damascus, a bright light shone, and it stopped him in his tracks. And he hears the voice of the Lord saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And at that very moment, Saul was saved by the grace of God. He says, Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? And then he follows that question up with this one, What wilt thou have me to do? Wow. Saved and surrendered all in the same moment, amen? And we find that he is saved many times, of course, in just a few chapters in the book of Acts. When you look at Acts 9, that testimony, that record is given of that experience in his life. But we find that many times throughout the book of Acts, as God records the ministry of the Apostle Paul, that he stands before many people and he shares that testimony of when he got saved and how his life was changed. He would write to the church in Corinth and he would say this, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we find that the Apostle Paul, he was saved. Listen, there was a day in his life that he was not saved. There was a day in my life that I was not saved. There was a time in your life that you were not saved. In fact, Ephesians chapter number 2, if you read the first several verses of that chapter, the Bible speaks about how we all had our conversation in time past. In other words, what is he saying? There was every Christian can look back at some point and see when they were not saved. I talked to a pastor friend just this past week. He said he had a conversation with somebody, and he said, So tell me about when you got saved. And they said, Oh, we've always been saved. So no, you can't always be saved. Amen? Because we're born sinners. We're born in need of the Savior. And there comes a time in our lives. There came a time in Paul's life where he acknowledged the fact that God, who was gracious and merciful, gave him the truth of his need for the Savior. And he understood that personally he needed to be saved. I remember that day in my life, when I recognized personally that I needed to be saved. It wasn't just that someone else needed to be saved. It wasn't that someone, that I was better than this person or that person or not quite as bad. No, we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The standard is not your neighbor, your co-worker, your relative. The standard is perfection, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all fall short. And the Apostle Paul was saved by the grace of God. He never got over being saved. He wrote about it often. But just within the context of our study this year in 1 and 2 Timothy, I want you to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and he's speaking and sharing his testimony, and he talks, he mentions in verse number 12, notice he says in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Notice, "who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." That's where Paul's talking about before. This is what I was, but now I receive mercy. I've been saved. Notice in verse 14, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." How many of you know the song Amazing Grace? We sing it often. Mr. Don's favorite song, Amazing Grace. Not only is God's grace amazing, but it's abundant. And God's grace is sufficient. And we find here that the Apostle Paul, he mentions in verse 13 about the mercy of God. He mentions here in verse 14 about the grace of God. And then notice what he says in verse 15. "This is a faithful saying." This is the truth. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world for what purpose? To save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's Paul's testimony. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He didn't come to just save that sinner or those sinners or whoever. No, he came in to save this sinner. Amen? He made it personal. He understood. Notice in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, the Bible says this in verse number 4. Look at verse 3 with it. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." You know, this morning, the amazing thing, the amazing truth of God's Word is that God came into the world to save sinners, but He wants all sinners to be saved. Paul says here very plainly, "who will have all men to be saved," all humanity. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He hung upon that cross, He paid for the sin of the entire world. And His payment was accepted. It was appropriate. And we find that He went to that grave and then He rose conquering sin, death, and the grave. He's alive forevermore. And Paul, he knew that he was saved. What a blessing it is to be saved, to know for sure that heaven is our home. I remember when I was not saved. I didn't get saved until I was 17 years old. I remember when I was not saved. Some people got saved real young, some older than I was when they got saved. I'm not sure how old you were, but I hope that today you know that you're saved. I remember before I got saved, I remember driving to school. I was a senior in high school. My dad was in the Marine Corps stationed out in California, Camp Pendleton. And I remember going to Fallbrook Union High School. And we had to go through the Navy base to get to school in Fallbrook. And I remember driving, and it was a very windy road and hilly and lots of steep places where you could run off the road. And I remember thinking as I would drive that road that if I crash this vehicle and I die, I'm going to go to hell because I'm not saved. Because I knew what the Bible had taught and I was rejecting it. I'd not yet received it. And I remember having those thoughts, and oh, those were not pleasant thoughts. They were scary thoughts. But you know, after I trusted Christ as my Savior, I got on my knees in my living room that day. My dad was there by my side, and I prayed and asked the Lord to save me. And I was born again. I was saved by the grace of God, not by any works, that I couldn't work my way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. But He saved me by His grace and by His mercy. And you know, that was August 31st, 1997. If you know anything about the school year, that's at the very beginning of the school year. And so for the rest of the school year, I had to drive that same road every day to go to school. And you know, I never feared that thought once again, because I knew that if I did crash that vehicle, if something happened, I was going to go to heaven because I was saved by the grace of God. What a blessing. Now that the Apostle Paul was saved, now for us that have been saved by the grace of God, we ought to have a heart and a desire to tell others about their need to be saved as well. We're not trying to make somebody, conform somebody into our way of thinking. Listen, we can't twist anybody's arm into being saved. It's a personal decision that they must make. But if we know the truth of God's Word, we ought to be desirous that others would be saved. We ought to have a burden and a heart for others to be saved. Why? Because we know the truth of God's Word. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 15 and 16, he speaks about being ready to preach the gospel. Why? He says he's not ashamed of the gospel in verse 16. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He talks in Romans 9 and in Romans 10 about his deep burden to see people saved. We're not trying to make people Baptist. We're not trying to make somebody a member of a church. No, we just want people to know for sure when they die that they're going to go to heaven. Why? Because every one of us is going to die. I don't know when and you don't know when. I remember talking to the man at the bank several years ago, and I told him I was absolutely wonderful, and he said, "You're lying." And I thought, well, that's kind of odd. I know I've shared this story before. He was just another customer at the bank. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. He just called me a liar because I said I was doing wonderful. And I said, well, excuse me, why do you say I'm lying? And he said, because no one's wonderful. And I thought, well, that's kind of sad that he's never had a wonderful day. He said, why would you say you're wonderful? I said, because I'm going to go to heaven when I die. He said, you're dying? I was like, well, look, I don't really, like, not that I know of, right? The same pastor friend that I talked to this week, he said, I know I'm going to die, but I don't know of what, because I don't go to the doctor because I don't want to know. All right? Now, the reality is that we all know that we're going to die. We don't know when and we don't know from what, but we're not going to die. But the reality is that we don't have, if we've been saved by the grace of God, we don't have to fear that. Because heaven is my home. Paul said this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So as we look at this passage, we begin by understanding that Paul was saved. Number two, if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to notice in the text in 2 Timothy 4 that Paul was strengthened. He says in verse 17, he says, notwithstanding, though there were those that opposed me, though no one stood with me, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. By the way, can I say this by just really kind of a thought? Listen, it's better that the Lord stand with you and no one else than for everyone else to stand with you and not the Lord. Amen? Listen, sometimes we get caught up into this thing that the numbers, the majority, the whatever. Listen, the Lord stood with me. Remember what Moses said? Who is on the Lord's side? We actually sing the song, who is on the Lord's side, right? And we find here that Paul says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and notice, and strengthened me. Praise the Lord. Paul was saved. Somebody's talking back there, amen? Help me preach this morning. The Lord strengthened me. And so Paul was saved, but Paul was also strengthened. He suffered much opposition. But he acknowledges that it was the Lord who strengthened him. Yes, I believe that God gave him physical strength. But more importantly than physical strength, you know what? God gave him spiritual strength. And we need that spiritual strength. We need to be strengthened in our spirit, in our inner man. We find that if you hold your place here and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to notice a couple of thoughts that Paul gives here with regard to this strength that he received. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, he begins in verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, notice, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We faint not. We've received mercy. He continues, and we're going to jump through. Look at verse number 7. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Notice what Paul says. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing, verse 14, that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause, notice he says this again, we faint not. He says that in verse 1. He talks about in verses 8 down through verse number 11, all of these difficulties that he faced. But he says once again, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, verse 16, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That spiritual strength that God gives his people for the work that he's called us to do, strengthened for service. Listen, the enemy wanted Paul to quit. The opposition wanted Paul to quit. You know what the opposition in Ephesus wanted for Timothy to do? To quit. That's why the charges continue. And God will strengthen us for service. You ever hear somebody say, I just can't do it. I just can't go on. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You ever read that verse before? Amen. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. What a joy. That verse has been put on mugs and cups and shirts and banners and all over the place, and people market it. But sometimes the believer, the Christian, forgets the very truth that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Thank God for his strength, and Paul was strengthened. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, you're there in chapter 4, look over in chapter 12, just a few pages over, and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice what Paul says here about this truth of being strengthened. In verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says, for this thing is the thorn that he mentions in his flesh. In verse number 7, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he, the Lord, said unto me, Paul, my grace, God's grace, is sufficient for thee. Notice what he said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul was strengthened by the Lord. He says, as he's writing here to Timothy, as he's exalting the Lord, he's mentioning about the way in which God strengthened him. He said, notwithstanding, again, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Notice that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. It's a very interesting reference at the end of verse number 17 of being delivered out of the mouth of the lion. We understand that Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter number 5 that our enemy is like a roaring lion, right? The enemy, Satan, he's like a roaring lion. Therefore, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may. You know what that word is? Devour. Devour. He doesn't just want to trip you up. He doesn't want to just discourage you a little bit. He wants to devour you. And he says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Listen, he was strengthened for service. We find that he was saved, but he was strengthened. He says that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. The Apostle Paul understood the call that God placed on his life, and the Apostle Paul knew that there was nothing that he could do in of himself with his own power to fulfill the work that God gave him. He needed that supernatural strength. You know, it's interesting. Moses said, these people, they're too many for me, Lord. Too many for me to bear. You know what God says? I'll be with you. What a joy. Paul understood the call that God placed on his life. He understood the ministry that he had been given, and we've spoken about that many times over the last couple of weeks, as he says in verse 6 and 7, even of this same chapter, that I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He knew the ministry that God gave him, but he recognized that it was also the Lord that strengthened him. God saved me, and God strengthens me. I hope that you're experiencing the strength of God in your life. I hope that you're recognizing this morning that without him, truly, we can do nothing. Without him, I can do nothing. But his strength, as he works within us, and he enables us to do his work, what a joy. We find not only do we look at those references in the book of 2 Corinthians, but we're reminded about the wonderful truth, and we won't take time to turn there, but in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, where Paul starts this way, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He goes on to talk about the fact that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, and we're engaged in a spiritual battle, and we need spiritual strength. We need the strength that only God can give. And I'm thankful this morning that God strengthens his people. I hope that you've experienced it in your life. I know personally I've experienced it in my life. I've experienced how God has strengthened me, how he's strengthened my inner man. He says day by day there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Why? Because we get into the Bible every day and we get that spiritual strength that we get from feasting on the Word of God. What a blessing. So we find that Paul was saved, that Paul was strengthened. Number 3, I want you to notice that Paul was secure. He was secure. What do I mean by that? I want you to note the confidence that Paul mentions in verse number 18. And what a joy it is for Paul to have known and for us to know today that the Creator of the universe is our Savior and that we are secure in Him. Notice what Paul says. Not only does he mention about, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, that's referencing at the end of verse 17, a past experience and God's provision, strength, God's security, God's provision for him. But now he says in verse 18, notice what he says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. And shall, notice, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you see the confidence of Paul in verse 18? I mean, Paul's not writing this with I hope this is going to be the case. No, he's writing it with great confidence. He says this, he says, and the Lord shall deliver me from, notice, every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. You think about the security that we have in Christ. What a joy. You know, security is an important thing for humans, to have security. I think about children having the security of their parents. I think about the importance, even as we understand that, and those of us that have children can understand the benefit, how sometimes our children, when they were little, maybe they were fearful, they lacked security, but your presence gave them some security. They were scared of the dark, maybe, and you said, it's okay, just hold my hand, I'm with you. They were scared of some other thing, whatever it might be. And we find that as we look at that truth and then we think about our lives, listen, there are times in which we face uncertainties. But our God knows all things. And he has revealed to us in his word the fact that we are secure in him. And we find in this passage, he says that the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and then notice, will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. And you think about your life, and you think about my life, and we can think about the bookends, if you will, from salvation. Whatever day it was that you got saved, and if you're not saved today, that today is the day of salvation. But whatever day it was that you got saved, and then there's going to become a time of glorification when we go to see the Lord. And I don't know when that's going to be. You don't know when that's going to be. Death can come knocking on our door at any time, but also we have the wonderful promise that Jesus could come at any time. Listen for the trumpet, the songwriter said, for Jesus is coming, amen? And we find this morning that between salvation and glorification, it's the Christian life, it's the process of sanctification, and it's living here and running this course, this race, and the Christian life and all that we face, and we have this truth that we are secure in the hand of God. What a joy that is. To know the security of the Lord. I remember when we first moved into our condo in Manassas, when we lived there, I remember it was a new development, and so of course, after you move in, you have all sorts of folks that come into the community, and one of those groups of people that like to come into the community after you move in, and especially in a new development, are security system folks, because they want to get a lot of jobs of being able to sell security systems to all these new potential customers, and so on and so forth. And Holly answered the door. I was here at the office, and she answered the door and talked to that salesman that day, and just I share this testimony just because of the faith, the simple faith, and the salesman was a little pushy and tried to push her on the fact that she needed this system, and she said this, she said, my father gives us security. And the guy looked at her like she was crazy, like, who's your dad, right? Like, well, what are you talking about, your father? And she said, well, we're saved, and the Bible says that safety is of the Lord. Praise the Lord. The security that he provides us, we are secure in his hand. And as we go through this life and we face various trials and tribulations and difficulties, Paul was encountering great opposition in his life. He's writing knowing that he's going to face a martyr's death, but he knows that he's in the hand of God. You know what's awesome about knowing you're in the hand of God? Everything that happens in your life and in my life has to get his permission. It goes through his filter. Think about that for a moment. If you're a child of God this morning, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you know that heaven is your home, you are secure in the hand of God, and everything that happens in your life and everything that happens in my life, God knows about it and God allows it. You say, what about this difficulty? You mean to tell me that God allowed that? Yeah, because God works through the difficulties. You know, God teaches us lessons in time of difficulty that we could learn in no other setting. It's true. How did the disciples know that Christ had the power to calm a storm if they never encountered a storm? Anyone? No. How would we know if we did not have the record that we read in the Gospels of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ? That he has the power. Remember what they said. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? He is God in flesh. And he simply stood as they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Peace, be still. He has the power over the storm. Do you know if you read the entirety of that portion of Scripture, you understand that they were secure and safe on the shore. And Jesus instructed them to go to the other side. And you know that he knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows all things. And in instructing them to go to the other side, you know what happens? They encounter a storm on purpose. You want more examples? Well, what about when God called Abraham and he sends him? And you know that as soon as Abraham gets to where he gets, you know that there's a famine? God was proving him. What about the truth when we look at John chapter number 11? He whom thou lovest is sick. Lazarus, they don't even name his name in the beginning of the text, just simply, he whom thou lovest is sick. Did Jesus allow that sickness? Absolutely. He said it was for the glory of God. Master, if you'd been here, he'd not died. Oh no, I'm on time. I'm going to show you. Do you believe? If you just believe, Oh, we believe that if you were here, you could have healed him. In fact, the mourners that were gathered, they said, as Jesus wept in John 11 and verse number 30, following that text, it says that those mourners, they said, well, if he had been, he healed the guy that was born blind, John chapter number 9. And surely if he was here, he could have healed. But Jesus is right on time. Why? None of them believed that he could raise Lazarus from the dead. But you know what he did? Move that stone. Oh, he stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. Lazarus, come forth. See, the trials in our life are for God's glory and for our growth. And I understand that when we're going through the midst of the storm, it's not always easy to acknowledge that. I understand that. But we must stand upon the truth that God has given us. And Paul says, I'm secure. I'm saved, I've been strengthened, but I'm secure. Let me read a couple of verses in closing. Go to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. What a great portion of Scripture. John chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 27, the Bible says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." By the way, you notice what he says? My sheep hear my voice. Are you saved? That's how you become one of his sheep. Remember what David said, a very familiar passage in Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. And he says this, "And I know them, and they follow me." Notice in verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Isn't that a beautiful truth? The security that we have in Christ. He gives us, when we trust Christ as our Savior, when we're saved, we become His sheep, as we see the truth here in verse 27. And He says this, "I give unto them eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord," Romans chapter 6. And we find here that He says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And so think about this, and we'll read verse 29 in just a moment. I'm secure in the hand of God. He says in verse 29, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." What a beautiful truth of the security that we have in Christ. The security that we have in Christ. I hope this morning that you not only understand the security for heaven, the fact that if you get saved, that you become a child of God and heaven is your home and you can have that security. If you read the book of 1 Peter in chapter 1, you find that he talks about that we have an inheritance that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for us. And I mean, what great truth that is given to us with regard to the security of salvation. God didn't say that his gift was temporary life. He didn't say that it was probationary life. He said that his gift is eternal life. And I am a possessor of eternal life because I've been saved. But I want you to understand that God wants you to acknowledge the fact that you're secure until that moment of glorification. From salvation to glorification, this Christian life, however many days and years that God would give us, that I'm still secure in the hand of God. Do you remember the life of Job? Remember the life of Job? I won't take the time to go there this morning, but if you read the opening book or the opening chapter of the book of Job, you find that Job dealt with some crazy stuff. You think you had a bad day or a bad week? Just go read Job. Seriously. But you know what we find when we read the book of Job? The enemy had two things. The enemy, number one, had permission. And number two, had limitations. And our enemy today still has limitations. If you read in the book of Revelation, you read in the ninth chapter when you're going through the time of the tribulation and all that takes place, they're given specific restrictions or limitations on what they can and cannot do. We have an enemy. Our enemy wants to devour us, but our enemy is a defeated foe. And therefore, Paul is able to say in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 18, he, with great confidence, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be opposition. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be those that would come against me and oppose me. But the Lord, he will deliver me and he will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. Listen, he then ends with, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This morning, simple message as we close this series throughout this calendar year on 1 and 2 Timothy. But it's a message that is applicable to each of us. We must answer the questions. Number one, have we been saved? See, we see that Paul was saved. Have you been saved this morning? Do you know for sure that heaven is your home? There was a time in your life where you recognized that you were a sinner and that He, Christ, is the only Savior. You can't get to heaven by your good works. You can't get to heaven because of who your parents are or grandparents are. The only way to heaven, Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Have you been saved this morning? You know for sure, I mean without a shadow of a doubt, that heaven is your home. If you've been saved and you're a child of God, have you experienced the strength of God? Have you been strengthened by the Lord? I mean, you've acknowledged in your life that He strengthened you in the inner man, that we have this ministry and we faint not. Why? Because we've been strengthened. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Have you experienced God's strength in your life? And then are you living a life of security? Are you living every day knowing that you're secure in the hand of God? And when that trial comes, when that difficulty comes, do you have the faith? Do you have the perspective that God has allowed this and He has a purpose for this and He's going to receive glory through this and I'm going to grow through this and God has a purpose? 1 Peter chapter number 1 continues after speaking about all of the benefits and the security that we have, that if need be, you're in manifold temptations, that you have these trials, but they grow us and they develop us. And what a joy. Because there are certain things that I have learned on this Christian life, this Christian journey, that I learned in times of difficulty that no other classroom would have been able to teach me. Those same truths, then the classroom of difficulty. This morning, the Apostle Paul is exalting the Lord. He says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, if you're saved, it brings glory to God. When you're strengthened by the Lord, it brings glory to God. Why? Because you don't sit back and say, look at what I did. No, God strengthened me for it. Amen. And when we're secure, we don't provide our own security. It's His security that He gives us. And so in each of those things, you know who's receiving the glory? God. So through salvation to glorification, you know who's to be glorified? God. I hope this morning that your life and my life is bringing glory to God. If you're not saved this morning, the very first point that we dealt with, we'd love to take a Bible. During our time of invitation, we have it at the end of every service that we have. We'd love to have you come and be able to take a Bible, a lady with a lady, a man with a man, and show you what God's Word says about how you can be saved so that you can know for sure. If you have any doubt whatsoever, get it settled because He is a wonderful Savior. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. How we thank You for loving us. We thank You, God, for the privilege of being able to gather this morning. We thank You, God, for Your provision for us. Giving us a Bible, giving us truth. God, I pray that You'd work in hearts and lives in this moment of invitation as only You can. We pray that through all that's done, Lord, every decision that's made, that You alone would be glorified. We'll thank You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would You stand?